Pinchas, the parsha of the Kanoi, the Zelat, and not in any negative way, in the most positive way. It teaches us that in all things, as we know, can be used for good or bad. Even killing, as Kohelet says, there's a time to kill and there's a time to make peace. How do we know? When do we know to do it? From Hashem, from the infinite wisdom that He teaches us in the Torah. Not one's own agenda, but in order to have the most compassion, just the opposite of what one might think. When it is time to even execute a criminal, a sinner, because Hashem says so, it is the most rachmanis. Why? Because first of all, the cancer should be stopped. It shouldn't spread. Others should not learn from it. Hashem knows when the last straw is reached. And even compassion for the sinner himself, that he should be stopped now, that Amir Hashem, he could be Zoichat Olam Abba through his death now, before he gets worse, with no hope for Olam Abba. It is not to be the way of the bleeding heart liberals, who have more compassion for the perpetrator than the victim, as we see in society and throughout history, how many times it has happened. But no, there's a time that one has to be a zealot. And even one who is the most peace-loving of all people, but for Hashem and His Torah, he becomes a zealot. And he is still the most peace-loving person. And that's part of the reason why the Torah says, if you notice, as Koldodi points out, at the end of last week's parsha, which is connected to this week's, this Maisa of Zimri. And what does it say? At the first pasuk of Maftir, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron haKohen, and in the second pasuk of this week's parsha, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron haKohen. But look at the cantillation, the grammar that tells us where a stop is, a comma. In last week's parsha, it is saying the Kohen goes on Pinchas. In this week's parsha, the Kohen goes on Aaron. That is showing us that Pinchas, one should never think, as Hashem Himself testifies, that there were any ulterior motives for what he did. That he didn't like the guy anyway, and such things. Chas v'shalom. It was 100% pure lishma, for the sake of Hashem and His Torah. And that's what it's saying to us. He himself was a classic HaKohen, deserving to be a Kohen, which he will be. And Ben Aaron HaKohen, not only he himself deserving, but you should know, not as these nudniks try to insult him, as if he had ulterior motives, being a murderer, just the opposite. He was Ben Aaron HaKohen, the grandson of his great Zayde, who was Ohev Shalom and Rodev Shalom. So was Pinchas, an Ohev Shalom and Rodev Shalom. You shouldn't think otherwise. But when he had to, he was a Kanoi. Moshe Rabbeinu also was lover of peace. You shouldn't think otherwise. But when he had to be a Kanoi, whether as me, Hashem Eloi, whether it was by Dasan Aviram, the last straw reached there, and other cases. But when he didn't have to, he went the utmost to avoid machlekes, to avoid bloodshed. Shmuel HaNavi with Agag, Melech HaMalek. Shaul didn't do the job, he had to. The one who also was the most gentle of men, wouldn't hurt a fly, literally. But when it had to be done, the bottom line is Hashem decides and tells us what's best. And then you have to be whatever you have to be. That is the true leader. That is the true tzaddik. That does this totally what Hashem wants, no matter what situation. In fact, the name of Pinchas himself teaches us what we're talking about here. You notice in the second pasuk in this week's parasha, Pinchas is spelled with a small yud. Usually it's with a yud, but regular sized. And as Rosh Hashiv in Paparos points out, we can say that the small yud is to tell us as if it wasn't there. And one thing I would say, we could read it then as Pen-chus. Pen, as we know from the Gemara, is one of the Lishonos expressions for a lav, a prohibition. And it's telling us here that it would be prohibited, a lav, to have any compassion on this sinner, as we explained before. This is within the name of Pinchas himself. As the Gemara says, a name can tell us the characteristic of a person. And therefore, it also tells us with the Yud, as Rosh Hashiva points out, with the Yud, it's Pei Yud Nun, which comes up to 140, which is the same as Vayipaleo Pinchas from Tilim. That he prayed, went into judgment to Hashem to have compassion on the Bnei Yisrael that were being killed now. So at the same time as Hashem is teaching not to have compassion for the sinner, at the same time he is also, Pinchas himself, is having compassion for his Bnei Yisrael, his beloved people. And that's what it's saying, paleo chas, to have compassion. The two opposites working at the same time. We can also ask that when Pinchas saw what was happening and went over to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, the halacha is kanoyim pogam bo, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, the one who reads the letter, let him carry it out. Why wouldn't Moshe Rabbeinu himself have done it? Carry it out himself. Mitzvah bo yosim b'dishrucho. Rosh Hashiva points out, one of the things we can say for this is that dealing with the Bnei Yisrael and the nudniks that were amongst them, one of the things that could have happened was that if Moshe Rabbeinu himself carried it out, they would have said what? Sure, after being insulted by Zimri, he took revenge, chas v'shalom, a personal revenge for the insults. Of course we know it's not true at all. But since there was Baruch Hashem, another capable person as Pinchas, able to do it, and would not have this problem, that's why it would have been better. And it was better for him to do it. And we can say that that's Pinchas' cheshbon also. And he knew also, we can say, the insults he would get afterwards. But he knew he was doing the right thing, and he carried it out. And also, it mentions in Pasuk Yud Beis, "Lochein emor no hineni no sein lo es brisi shalom." And as we see, the verb of shalom is cut in the middle. And one shot we can say is, in order that we should read it as if it wasn't there, the verb, and then it would be written as shalim, complete. To show that mida connected mida, that just as Pinchas had no ulterior motives, but was totally the Shem Shamayim, so also he would get a bris of shalom that would be complete, everlasting, forever after, no break. Notice that in last week's parsha, when the first talks about this ma'ase, it doesn't mention the name of the thinners, whereas in this week's parsha, it tells us who they were. So one explanation given by the Or HaChaim is the fact that we see that Hashem does exactly what has to be done, of course, to the nth degree. As we see, for instance, the Mekoshesh, it is not said in the Torah who he was. And therefore, if the sinner does not have to be advertised, mentioned, Hashem will not do it. There's nothing to be gained from that. He's even chas on that sinner, not to overdo anything that shouldn't be done. Whereas here, at first, it doesn't mention the name. You can say, so to speak, in the heat of the moment, before the actual deed was done, but afterwards, when it was done, it's mentioned, and one of the reasons is in order to give full credit to Pinchas for all to see that even though this was a prince B'nai Israel and a princess of the Goyim, it did not stop him. No fear of retribution, no fear of the power of the oppositions stopped him. He did what he had to do for the sake of Hashem. As we see the description that Rashi brings from Chazal of this Avodah Zarah that was involved with the Arayas immorality, Baal Peor, which was done by exposing oneself and defecating before it, one can be astounded. How could B'nai Israel or anyone go so low? And as Rosh Hashiva explains, we can see it along the same lines as the Egel Azov, which the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin. It wasn't for the Avodah Zarah. Chas v'shalom, B'nai Israel, they knew the truth. It was for the Yetzirah of Arayas, immorality. It was an excuse. The Yetzirah tries to convince the person, make up a new philosophy, that anything goes, any natural or unnatural urge is okay. Everything is legitimate. Once a person has that kind of yetzahara, so they have a free ticket. Now, when they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael, after 40 years in the Midbar, and this yetzahara is again reasserting itself, it was of the utmost importance to eradicate Bnei Yisrael of these sinners now, so they shouldn't make terrible trouble later on in Eretz Yisrael itself. And that's why we see also by Kisisa, when Moshe sees the effect that Egel Azov will have, he says, Kifaruahu. And it exposes the Bnei Israel to the Satan, just like by Kriyas Yamsuf. What's different these and those? These are were over the Avodah Zarah, and so were the Mitzrayim. So in order to counteract that, to show that Bnei Yisrael is deserving, therefore they had to take care of this. And that's why the same word has the same letters and the same meaning. Farua by the Egel Azor, and Ta'or, the Avodah Zarah, exposure. Because it not only exposes the Aveira, it exposes the weakness that will cause the Satan to have an opportunity to speak against Bnei Yisrael. And that had to be taken care of and eradicated. After Sheni, in Pasuk Tes, among the Pasukim, describing the count of Bnei Yisrael, it mentions Dasan and Aviram, that they were Kriyei Ho'eda Asher Yitzro Moshe Val Aaron Badas Korach Vatzo Samar Hashem. You see how, as the Orach Chaim explains, that Dasan and Aviram, sure, at that sin, Korach was the leader as far as carrying it out to the end. But Dasan Aviram, you see here, were the big instigators, fanning the flames of this trouble, fanning the flames of hatred amongst Bnei Israel and the leader Korach in this rebellion. And that's why in Tehillim they are mentioned, and not even Korach, to show their terrible sin in causing the Machlokes to continue, their part in it was so great. And we see there's a Ksiv and a Kri for the Kriyei Ha'eda, which is in fact exact opposite Ksiv and Kri, which you have by Nesiim in Parshas, the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar. There, the Kri is Kriye, and it's written Kruye. There, it's written as Kriye, and it's read as Kruye. Here, it is read as Kriye and written as Kruye. And the Shiv explains that there, if you read the way it is in the Torah without any vowels, you would of course read it as Kriye. The difference in Kriye and Kruye is the fact that Kriye is in the past. They were elected, so to speak, leaders before. Kruye is more recent, present. There, as we know, they were leaders even beforehand, like we see by the Kabanos, by the Chanukas Habayis of the Mishkan. And therefore, that we all know. The thing that it teaches us here by decree is that now at present Hashem is, so to speak, giving his seal of approval that they will continue to be it now. Whereas here, reading it, is krue. And that's how, so to speak, Dasan and Aviram read it. We are deserving to be presently leaders, just like we were in Mitzrayim. But only the Mesorah tells us the truth, that it's kriya. Then they were deserving for what they did for Bnei Yisrael, their sacrifice in Mitzrayim. But they failed afterwards. They went against Moshe Rabbeinu, the Messiah, and therefore, apropos, the Mesorah is teaching us that. The Mesorah is teaching us the truth. If they would accept the Mesorah, they would still be the Krue, even presently, as they felt. But the Mesorah taught us that they're not. It's Krie. They were only the past, deserving to be the leaders. And we see how Hashem still gave them the schar all these years and all the chances that he gave them for their Avas Yisrael. Didn't take it away, as he does with all, even the Rishayim. And they didn't learn their lesson. And as Rav Schwab Tzatzal points out, that one of the basic faults of the Yetzirah that they didn't overcome was that they couldn't accept authority. They had to be top. As when Moshe Rabbeinu and Mitzrayim, when they were fighting amongst each other, who are you to be a shofet over us? And always the same point throughout. We see by the Midrashim how they wanted to return to Mitzrayim, provoke the Bnei Israel with that and make themselves the leader instead of Moshe Rabbeinu. Always back to the same point until the last straw was reached. We see later on by the Benos Lafchad when they come and ask that their father's portion in Eretz Israel should not be denied, even though he doesn't have any male children. So the question is that we notice there's a difference in the expressions. First of all, in Pasuk Hey, before Revi, it says Mishpatan, Lashon Nekeva, with a large nun, Sophie's. And in Pasuk Zion, it says Titain lohem v'soch achei avihem, which is Zohar, and nachalas avihen lohen lashon nekeva. Two opposites. So first of all, Rosh Hashiva points out, it is unlikely that the question of Yerusha as such with only females didn't happen other times before in the Midbar, all these 40 years when there were only daughters left. And question is what to divide any possessions that were in the household remaining. But we can say that the question here was as far as Yerusha Eretz Yisrael. It never came up as far as the Yerusha that would happen there at the Israel. Now the B'nai Slavcha came up with that. That's where the point was different than before. And the point here is also that we can say there were two possibilities of how the B'nai Slavcha were asking this. From where were they coming, so to speak? Was it totally lishma or not? Was it that they should be able to inherit like mamish zechorim? So on a personal level, they will have Yerusha and decide whatever they want to do with it, so to speak? Or was it that it was totally lishma? No. In the kavos, their only kavana was to keep it in the shevet, their father's possession, that it should continue, that their father should still have that Yerusha. And the Torah is telling us how 100% Lishmar was, just like we started this parasha with Pinchas, totally Lishmar. So was the B'nai Slavcha. And that's one of the reasons why the Nun, so Feis and Mishpatan, is large. The show was completely Mishpatan. There, Nekevas, as Nekevas, were no ulterior motives. And Pasuk Zion is telling us beautifully, as Chazal said, that Hashem made it that they had a choice. Hashem gave them the opportunity, if they wanted, to be at Chorim, and they could pass it to another Shevet by marrying someone outside the Shevet. Ba'avat es nachlas avim lehen. And in the Nekeva, Lashon is saying what they did, and of course what the preferred way would be, to keep it that way, to keep it in the Shevet. And as we know, they did accordingly. Even though they had a choice, but they did it the way Hashem would have wanted. After Chamishi begins the Kabbonos and Musafim, and it begins right away with the Korban Tamid and how they have to be equal, the exact same Korban for the morning and the evening. And one of the things we can learn from here, which the Darash Moshe points out, is the fact that it wants to teach you that a person should give the same kochos from the beginning till the end. And even one that, as far as humanly possible, has to tire at the end of a day, but he should still never give up, never said he did enough, but give whatever he has, his full kochos that remains. And it will be considered for him, like the Gemara says, Machshavah Kamaisa, as if he did his full effort, which he did, and it is equal to all the kaychas he had at the beginning. And that's in life also, from beginning to end, to always give your utmost. Then it mentions the carbon for Rosh Chodesh, and it mentions that a goat, Anizim, Sirizim, was brought for a Korban Chatas, and the Gemara in Chulin says that this was, is the Pasuk says, Lashem, and the Gemara Darshan, so Hashem said, bring a Korban Chatas for me that I diminished the moon. The famous Agadata from this Gemara that we know, that at the beginning the moon and the sun had the same power. And the moon came and said, how can two kings share the same crown? And therefore Hashem diminished the moon. So the Darsh Moshe explains that one of the things we are supposed to learn from this incident is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that even if you have to judge against a certain opinion, but don't disparage that opinion. Don't belittle it. Be machshavit still, and try your best to see what has to be done, and even if you have to go against it, but don't still disparage it. And I think the Rosh Hashivat Tzal would agree that I can say that it's also to show that you should feel bad also, that it has to be like that, that you have to go against the other opinion. So therefore, the Atzur Tamim Polo, that makes no mistake, Kelam Unavye Novel, is showing that to us, how important the Benodam Achavero, how to treat one's fellow, to be Machshiv, the other person, how important that is. Yetz Hashem, we should all fulfill to the utmost Harabein Adam Lamakom and Bein Adam Lachaveiro. Tamid Miatod Yad Olam.